I want to help you overcome emotional battles. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I heard Gary Carpenter say one time, he said, I'm mad as hell. He said, I'm going through emotional battle and I'm mad. He said the hardest battle in the world to overcome is an emotional battle. He said, I can overcome sickness, but emotional battles, they seem so real, don't they? But in the beginning, in the middle, and after that emotional battle, it's just a false narrative. It's just a lie, right? If we could ever comprehend that, if we could ever comprehend that, we have yet to really grasp what this awesome man in our life started, the power of the born-again spirit. We have yet to grasp it. Paul said in Romans, but God be thanked, and I'm just going to quote the scripture for you, but God be thanked. We're going to go into a classroom for about 3 minutes. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. If I was the servant of sin, past tense, then what does that mean? That I'm not anymore. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, being then made free from sin, ye became the servant of righteousness. Please, please, somebody quote to me the clause in there that made me free from sin. Is there a clause in there, or just a prayer of faith that Jesus is the Christ? Just a prayer of faith that Jesus is the Christ. Please, somebody tell me what I'm missing in that verse that says I have to do something to walk in that freedom. Please, somebody correct me. You can't, can you? There's nothing in the world that I have to do to walk in that freedom, but to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's things that help reinforce that so that I can see it, but nothing in the world that I have to employ in my life that causes me to know the freedom that I have in Christ Jesus. Nothing. That freedom came instantaneously by the power of God. If we can grasp that, we will never, ever be the same. And I'm here today to help you to relay an image that is working inside of me. One thing you got to know, just because we don't understand God's word, that's not his fault. It's not his fault because we don't understand our freedom. That doesn't mean that we're not free because we don't understand his freedom. It's not his fault that we don't understand his word. Is it his fault? No, it's not his fault that the modern day body of Christ has no concept of what it means to be born again. No concept. And it's not his fault. So if I don't have a concept of what it really means to be born again, then I guess I got an excuse to keep sinning, right? No, you're learning. It seems that everyone that prays in the Spirit has an image of that verse inside of them. Now I'm going to get stoned for this. It seems that people that pray in the Holy Ghost have more of an image of that portion of scripture inside of them than people that don't. Can you agree with that? Or you would think so. I talked to a friend today. I think I got gum stuck on my pen or something. My food kid keeps sticking to the carpet. It's the devil. It's him. No, it's a piece of gum on my shoe. He gets to blame for too many things. But a friend called me today. No, I text a friend and they called me back. They said, I've been going through 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And I think they said, I think I hate still, or I can't love, or something like that. I think you know what I mean. But it's funny how that person called me today and told me that, because I ain't want to gossip, and I'm going to tell you something that's not virtuous or praiseworthy, but I'm going to tell you anyway. There's this man that I know. I'm not going to tell you his name because I'm not one to gossip, but he's kind of like 5'7 and a half, 5'8. He sort of can't see very well for a season. I'm not going to tell you his name because I don't gossip. Some say his left ear is bigger than his right one, but I refuse to give him a name, to give you a name, because that would be darkness, and I'm not going to gossip. But he has a wife named Rosie. There's a lot of guys that are 5'7 that got wives named Rosie. You're assuming. You're judging and condemning. You blind person. But he gets to this church in the morning most of the time, stays in the church a while, and he camps out somewhere in one of these rooms, but I can't tell you his name because I don't want you to stereotype him. And he gets to church, and he loves Dunkin' Donuts coffee. He loves it. He loves the Miami Hurricanes. He loves him some Rosie. That's what he told me. And so Tuesday morning, I heard that he asked his wife, Rosie, it's 7 o'clock. He woke up, and he told his wife, I want breakfast this morning. Can you have your mom make me beans? Mexicans and beans. We're just meant for each other. Not we, I mean they. They. And this man, very handsome man indeed, very handsome. He tells his wife, I want some beans, and I want them now. But now didn't come till 2.5 hours later. So that man, between 7 and 9:30, from what I heard, texted his wife, said, I don't want the beans. I don't want them no more. I don't want them. So from what I heard, he went from an office in here and lay down on the front row and was praying in tongues. Mad because his beans weren't here in 30 minutes. He was so mad. He didn't get rude, mad, or nothing, but he was cop attitude within himself. And that man knows his wife very well, so his wife came in about beat the door down and wouldn't leave this facility till the man on the front row said, who is it? I knew who it was. I recognized the beat. He recognized the beat. He recognized the beat on the door. I don't want the beans. Who is it? He said, open the door. So this person's wife put the beans on the table. I don't want them. I don't want the beans. You want me to take the lid off, the cover off the beans? I don't want them. But yeah, go ahead. That's what I heard. And knowing the wife that he has, the awesome woman that she is, she walked around the desk and she asked this man for a kiss. No, I'm not going to kiss you. No. So I know her, so she kissed him on the head. Said, I love you. Love you too. That's what I heard he said. I love you too. She rolled off into the sunset. And this man, being filled with the Holy Ghost, felt a pricking in his heart. And this man said, and you're going to relate to this. This is what I heard, but I'm pretty accurate with the story. And the door was closed, and the man began to tear up them beans, from what I heard. The woman ran off into the sunset. And this man made this statement that we have all made. And this man said, but Lord, I'm showing up the prayer every day. Haven't we said that? After being rude, but Lord, I'm showing up the prayer every day. I'm praying, Lord. I'm praying. That, my friends, is absolute justification for walking in darkness. Absolute justification. I have made the mistake. I am a Holy Ghost praying man. I believe in going to an epistle and just staying there, pounding it and pounding it and pounding it. But I have made the mistake over the years thinking that eventually things were just going to fall off of me. That, my friends, is false doctrine. That is false doctrine. I've been praying in the Holy Ghost for 20 years. There are certain things that have not fallen off of me, people. And I felt a pricking. Now the jokes are out the door. Of course, you know the man was Pastor Bronk. I mean, the man was me. I'm sorry. Of course, you know the man was me. But Lord, but I pray. But it's so amazing what I excused. He took me to Luke 6. He took me to Luke 6 of all places. He took me specifically to Luke chapter 6. I say to myself, now I will get up tomorrow from 7 to 3 o'clock. I will pray in the Holy Ghost. I will not ever demean or say praying in tongues is not vital. It is what has made me the man that I am today, by showing me the true word of God. Exhortation, comfort, and edification only comes by the Holy Ghost, because he eliminates God's word and lets us see it for what it truly is, not a religious theology interpretation of what man has told us for years what God's word is. The Holy Ghost brings truth to me and you, and it's up to me and you to put on that truth. It's up to us to put it on. I got a big boy named Elijah, big boy. Do we talk about my son being big, Carl? You'll let anyway. And I'm going to use a baseball analogy. He was a number four hitter. Any of you know anything about baseball? Number four hitter is the one that can knock it out of the ballpark. He could hit a ball far in high school. I'm using this short analogy to show you. He was sort of have you seen him? He's sort of like the enforcer. He's the big boy. And he's a number four hitter. And the four hitter is the one that cranks it out of the ballpark. Now, he's a stubborn number four hitter, a power hitter. He had a lot of homes. Since the eighth grade, he's hit home runs out of major league parks. Just crunk him out. He could have been a ball player, but he got married. Anyway. So the four hitter, the main objective of a pitcher when you face a four hitter, you want to pitch him inside, because you don't want him to extend his arms and get the fat part of the bat on the ball. Because if he gets the fat part of the bat on the ball, it's going to go out the ballpark. So they jam him. And he was playing baseball at 250 pounds, big boy. Played middle linebacker, stubborn. He knew he's the four hitter. He knew the ball's coming inside. He knows they're trying to jam him, but he refuses to move. And in baseball, they use a terminology, come on, Elijah, you got to wear it. In other words, stay there. If the ball hits you, be a man, take your base. I kid you not, he played on an elite baseball travel team, and he got hit, what, maybe 16 times? In 2 or 3 months, 16 times he got hit. 16 times with a ball coming 80 miles an hour, and he would not flinch. He had to wear the pitch. He had to wear it. He had to physically wear it. Now, he would stare people down and almost cause a riot, but he would stare them down. You hit me. But he wouldn't move. He had to wear the pitch, and I think you know where I'm going with this. I thought, surely, 7-8 hours a day of praying in the Spirit, surely things would just begin to fall off of me. Surely they will. Surely I'll go through 1 John 5, 6, 700 times. Surely I will automatically walk in the love of God. Surely I will. My God, 20 years, Father, I've been hitting this book and I can't seem to get it right. But my mindset was, I'll pray in tongues, I'll fast, I'll read, I'll worship, and surely this stuff will fall off. Surely it will. Surely it will. And all that assists the growing process. But nothing in the world, a 40-day fast, a 100-day fast, 8 hours a day, 1 John 400 times, nothing can empower you to overcome sin more than the rebirth. Nothing. All that will assist it. But the day that me and you got born again, instantaneously, the power of God came and lived inside of us. Now, do you got ammunition for this, Homer? Oh, you bet you. Not only do I have it, but the ammunition was given to me supernaturally by the Holy Ghost yesterday. Surely, Lord, I've gone through 1 John. Surely I'm frustrated. I don't want to get mad over beans, Lord. How am I ever going to endure prison? Imprisoned by Muslims at the chopping block if I can't get over beans not being delivered within 30 minutes. My God, I got to grow up. And don't say amen to that. Because you've said it before too. That's bad. So I was there and I said, close my door. I started crying. Because there's things, people, though I can say that sexual morality, I can say this, and that's your subtlety working in me. I've overcome that. But there's little things that so bother me that I can't believe that I let them take my peace. You know why? Because I don't understand the rebirth yet. I'm indoctrinated still to an extent by a lie. What's the lie? That I have to pray. I have to do a 40-day fast to walk righteously. That, my friends, is a lie that makes sense. Do you got proof? Oh, yes. I got to fast. I got to pray. Oh, yes, we do. He said it in 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Yes, we do. Give alms. Fast. Pray. Absolutely. Absolutely. But because you don't fast and you don't pray and you don't read your Bible, there's no excuse to walk outside of integrity. Why? Because you've been born again. Christ, the anointed one, lives inside of me and you. That was sufficient. How do you know? Can you prove it? Lord, I was mean to my wife because I haven't been praying. That will not hold up in spiritual court. Can you prove it? Oh, you bet you I can. And then some. Pray in tongues. I'll wake up tomorrow. I'll go home tonight. I might do an hour on the treadmill. I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour more tonight. Because praying in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the teacher. He reveals to me this in truth, complete understanding of it. But once I receive that revelation and that truth, it's up to me to work it out. It's not just going to fall off. I got to wear it. I got to put on the new man that I am in Christ. I've got, my son wore 16 fastballs on the hip, on the stomach. He didn't deviate. He stayed in there and took a beating. He had to put on that hit and he put it on and he complained sometimes, but he endured it. We got to put on the new man. See, this is what we want. We want God's word to work out itself. You understand what I'm saying? We want God's word to work out itself. No. Even Jesus in his days, the love of God that was in, he had to work out that love. God's love doesn't work out itself. It can't fulfill itself. We have to fulfill it in our life, in front of the world, so they can see that surely, surely we are born of him. It doesn't put off itself. You can pray in tongues for 10 hours a day. You still got to wear the Bible. You still got to put it on. Pray in tongues. I do pray in tongues a lot. A lot. And I will till the day that I die. And I'll go through 1 John till the day that I die. But I still got to put it on. I still got to wear it. And I'll be faced with decisions, with emotions the rest of my life. But until we comprehend what it is to walk in the love of God, we're always going to struggle. The flesh offers a false narrative inside of us, and the flesh wants us to repeat that false narrative. And when we repeat the false narrative that's in our mind, we shoot steroids to it, man. And it intensifies and it consumes us because we spend more time talking about what we don't do or we do instead of obeying the word of God that's internal and written in our hearts. We spend more time talking about the things of the flesh than we do what the Bible says about us. So what's your proof? Can you give me written proof? Oh, Lord, I'm being mean. I love Miss Rosie, Lord. But that lady was looking good, Lord. And I'm just a sinner saved by grace, Lord. My wife will understand. because I'm a sinner saved by grace. Miss Rosie, I love you, baby, but you know I'm trying. I'm a sinner saved by grace. We might not say it like that, but that's how we believe it. Not here in general. If I'm a sinner saved by grace, then I still have an excuse, don't I? Because I'm still a sinner. But no, my friends, we were sinners. Then grace came and empowered us. And now we're the sons of God. Love you, Miss Rosie. I'll be back in about 2 days, baby. You'll understand. No, man. That's what man teaches. The Holy Ghost has put an image inside of me. And it's putting an image inside of me of the power of the rebirth. You got proof? Yeah. I'm mean. You say you're mean. You say you missed the mark. I say I missed the mark. I haven't been praying. Haven't been fasting. I've used that a million times. I used it Tuesday. Well, that person used it Tuesday. I haven't fasted. So you're trying to tell me that the redemptive work of Christ was not sufficient? Christ in you, the hope of glory? Will you fast again, Homer? Yeah, I probably will next week. Will you pray again tomorrow? I'll be here all day, just about. Will you go through first time again? Yep, yep. What's the problem then, Homer? You say you've read this book hundreds of times, and I have. Praying, worshiping, fasting. Yes, I have. But I'm still faced with the flesh every single day. Every single day. And I was, my wife, that person's wife left. And that man said, my wife, and I said, well, Lord, but I pray. Justifying my ugliness. Immediately, the Holy Ghost took me to Luke 6. I'm going to prove to you. Now, Luke 6 was one of the first things that Jesus, one of the first teachings that he did, or that was recorded in Scripture. I can't say it's the first one that he did. I don't have proof of that. But one of the major teachings that was recorded, I believe Luke 6 is the same as Matthew 5, 6, just a shorter version. Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord took me to this because I was sincere at the time, but Lord, I'm getting up, I'm praying, I'm doing what I got to do to not do the things that I do, Lord. I'm doing it, so I was justifying my ugliness. And no, I didn't cuss her, I didn't yell at her, I don't want the beans. Like a little 2-year-old baby. But Lord, I pray, Lord. Frustrated, my mind goes back, like my buddy said today, my mind goes back. Why am I spending time in 1 John? I can't get it right. Why? I can't get it right. I let something so minute bother me. I can't get it right, and I weep sometimes. I weep. I say, my God, why hasn't this fallen off of me? Why hasn't this stronghold just left me? After 20 years, and I like to think I've prayed habitually during them 20 years, I like to think that my knowledge of the Bible has grown, that there's an image inside of me. Why can't I get around and I cry? And my wife holds me, and I said, baby, if you only knew how much I weep, because I desire so much to see people like Jesus. He said, I just can't get it right, baby. I can't get it right, and I cry. And the awesome woman that she is, she comforts me and kisses me, and that's okay, baby. You've come a long way. And I said, I know, baby, but God, I want to get it right. And I get discouraged sometimes. My friend was discouraged today. But then the Lord took me to Luke 6. The whole context here is, Lord, but I'm praying. Eventually, basically what I'm saying is, when I tell the Lord, Lord, I'm praying, I'm saying, eventually, Lord, I'm not going to do it. Right? Are you with me on that? Eventually, if I keep praying, if I keep fasting, I'm not going to do it. Amen? So then the Lord took me to Luke 6 regarding my statement inside that room. And the Lord took me to Luke 6. And you're probably going to get it because you pray in the Spirit. How he showed me this. He was the only lit candle on the face of the earth at that time. They were all spiritually dead. So did they at the time of this teaching that they have the capacity in them to walk according to the kingdom principles? Yes or no? No, because they were spiritually dead, still under law. All they knew was retribution. All they knew was judgment, condemnation, and they didn't know forgiveness. Under law, spiritually dead. So then a lit candle shows up on the scene and begins to preach kingdom principles. And he says this regarding the episode in my office Tuesday, regarding that episode, regarding my frustration because it doesn't seem that these handles are falling off of my body. It seems like they're getting harder and harder and harder and harder to overcome. They don't want to go anywhere. Frustrated. My God, years of reading 1 John. You know, Father, I want to walk in this love. You know, if there's anything in the world that I want to walk in, and that's to walk in your fullness. I want your love to be perfected in me, Lord. I want to love like John loved, Lord. I want to be slapped in the face and turn the other cheek. I want them to take my cloak and they can have my coat also. I want to be merciful, Lord, as you're merciful. They took me to Luke 6, and I'm redundant for a reason. Jesus said this. The only lit candle on the face of this world at that time said this. But I say unto you which hear, regarding my dialogue with myself in there, took me immediately to this. But I say unto you which hear, Lord, I'm being mean with them because I really haven't been praying, Lord. I haven't fasted. But the Holy Ghost showed me this. Luke 6, somewhere in there, I don't know the verse. But I say, what is it? Luke 6, 27, and then some underneath it. But I say unto you which hear, love ye your enemies, and do good. Bless them that curse you. Listen to this. Lord, I haven't been doing good. I haven't been nice to my wife because I haven't prayed. I haven't fasted. But I say unto you which hear, love ye your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for those which despitefully use you. He said, I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, right? Then he said what? Do good to them which hate you. Did he tell me to hear his word, pray, and then do good? Or did he tell me to hear, apply what I hear, and work it out? He didn't tell me to hear, pray, fast, pray in the Spirit, read 1 John. The very fact, the very truth that I am born again, that alone qualifies me to work out the good that I am to do unto you. Just the simple fact of hearing and applying is enough through the power of the rebirth. I don't have to pray to love you or to work out the good that I'm to work out in my life. The mere fact that I'm born again is sufficient. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good. He didn't say hear, pray, and then do good. He said, no, hear and apply. That is the power of the rebirth, ladies and gentlemen. So I got to put on what I hear. I've got to wear it. I've got to put it on. What tongues does through edification, exhortation, and comfort, it brings to light the truth in the Bible so that I can see it, hear it, and apply it. The word of God has to be applied. Now, the reading brings transformation. It lets you see clearer. The praying in tongues brings edification and exhortation as the Holy Ghost relays the mind of Christ to you. There's an image built up inside of you. He said, hear. He didn't say, hear, pray, and do good. If you hear and don't pray, you're excused. He said, no, hear and do good. That, my friends, is the power of the rebirth. That tells me one thing. If I'm to hear and do good, there's an emotion tied up in there, my friends, that's going to come resist the good that I hear that the Father wants me to do. There's an emotion that follows that. Therein is the problem. See, we want God's word to work out itself without any effort from us just because we pray in tongues. Can you please back that up biblically? You cannot. Father, we want, when Jesus walked this earth, the word was fulfilled through his conduct. The word lived in his spirit, written in his heart, but he had to wear it, man. We got to put on God's word. It's not going to put on itself. It's in us so that we'll live our life out of his word. We've got to walk that word out. Sometimes that means gritting our teeth and shutting our mouth. Father, I want to say it. It's going to be so gratifying that I say it. But your word means more to me than a feeling. Father, that man looks mighty good. My husband has not been treating me right. Well, you know what? That man might look pretty good to you, but that word has to be a lot better looking than that man. Father, that lady's curves, she looks so good. She's fine, Lord. But the word of God has to be finer to you, my friends. You got to wear it. You got to put it on. Don't wait for stuff to fall off. You make it fall off. You make it fall off. He's, I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies and do good. Do good. That is a direct fruit from hearing and applying what you hear. Are you coming against tongues? No. Praying in tongues got me that revelation. It got me that revelation. Praying in tongues has consumed me and shown me what Romans means. Now it's up to me to activate it and walk in it. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies and do good. Will qualify me to do good is to hear the word of God through a lit candle and to apply it. If I'm waiting for mortification to take its complete course, I'm going to wait till the day I die. We are already dead in this world. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live with him. We got to put on Christ. Several times in the scriptures, we're instructed to put on Christ. Feelings come with that. When you're going through an emotional battle, don't crucify your brother. Crucify your flesh, man. Don't cut up your brother and crucify. I don't care what they did to you. I don't care what they did. I don't care what she did. Don't crucify them. Crucify the flesh. Do good to them with hate you. If not, if you hear and don't do, if you hear and don't do, you are technically speaking, spiritually speaking, you are blind. You are blind. There is an obstruction in your eye because you forgot. We forgot what brought us into the kingdom. And that's the mercy and the blood and the goodness of Jesus Christ. You are blind. There's an obstruction in our eyes. If we hear and habitually don't do, there's an obstruction in our eyes. It's a beam. We can do nothing for the Father in his kingdom. How do you know when you're not obeying God's word? Some of us got issues in our life, but we can't discern them. Or we don't know they're there. Well, how do you know when you don't like somebody? How do you know? Well, here we go. Break it down line upon line. When somebody has treated you bad and treated me bad, I forgive them. Let's see. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Do you do good? Do you bless them? Do you pray for them? If not, there's an obstruction in your eye. How do you get that obstruction out? By doing good? By blessing and by praying. If you walk on the other side of the room, when they're in the room, you have blindness in your eyes. There is an obstruction in your eye. If you can't pray for them, if you can't love them, if you can't bless them, if you can't do good to them, there is an obstruction in your eye and you cannot see. Why? Because we bought in to a lie. Emotions. Overcoming emotions is walking in love. Emotions come strategically at me and you to cause us to deviate from the word written in our heart. That is living a crucified life. You have to grasp this. You got to understand it. Living a crucified life is saying no to the body of sin. Living a crucified life is saying no to the body of sin. Living a crucified life is saying no to a false narrative. Living a crucified life is kicking every thought to the curb that springs forth from the body of sin. That is living a crucified life. Emotions are part of what we are to crucify. Kirsten's not my problem. If I'm going through something and I behold a person, I'm already wrong. Only thing that I'm to behold is God's word inside of me. You can't deal with people or situations dealing with people. You got to look into the eyes of God first. Well, that dang Kirsten. Oh, she gets something on her. Error already. You've got to look into the law of love, into the law of liberty, and continuing. If you look at a person and they get on your nerves, we're told to hate evil, not to hate evil people. There's a difference. I just despise them. You don't despise them. You despise the word of God. That person is not your problem. The word of God is your problem. There's a blinder in your eye because you're letting an emotion. I'm letting an emotion 2 days ago talk me in to a lie. I have been set free. I was mean and rude to my wife because I wanted to be. That's one of the first teachings recorded by Christ, recorded by Luke from Christ. There was not a clause in me hearing and doing good. He didn't say pray in the Holy Ghost. He didn't say do a 40-day fast. He said hear and do. Hear and do good. There was not a clause in there. The only thing that gives me that power is Jesus, you are the Christ. Bam, instantaneously, I have a lit candle and I live out of that candle. I haven't fasted, I haven't prayed, I haven't worshiped, I haven't done this, I haven't gone. That's an excuse, and you will wear that excuse to the day you die and live in inconsistency till we come to learn the power of the rebirth. We have to know the power of the rebirth. And of course, we incorporate fasting, we incorporate tongues, we incorporate 1 John because we love him. If I'm rude tomorrow, it's because I chose to be rude. I gave myself over to a false narrative. I gave myself over to an emotion. A lie meant more to me than the word of God. And I'll probably go through 1 John 3 or 4 times tomorrow, and emotions will come at me again. But I'm starting to realize what the love of God is. When I keep the whisper over the loud, dogmatic voice that the flesh brings. When I can keep that whisper, Father, I know what your love is. I feel like I'll never see again, Lord. That lie comes at me all the time. Either I kick it to the curb and don't repeat it, and I repeat what the Bible says that I am. Himself took my infirmities and he bore my sickness. I don't care if I got to wear that out. I don't care if I sound super redundant. I'm going to confess it. And if I slip up and don't confess it, I'm going to get under the blood and say, Jesus, forgive me. The problem is that we want the word of God to work out itself. We want to read the word, and then we want the word that we read, we want it to perform itself. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. I'll keep praying in tongues again, Lord, over and over again, and eventually it'll fall off. No, it won't. No, it won't. I know a man that fell hard that's done more 40-day fast than all of you put together. And he fell hard. And he fasted more than all of you put together. One time he went 45 days, almost died. He got into pride, though, in that fast. He got into pride. But that man that I love, and he's back with the Lord again, praise God. But that man could never sit down and put this in him. That man did not know the power of the rebirth. Some of you might be gnashing your teeth at me. I don't care. But God be thanked that ye were the servant of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of God. You don't think Jesus faced emotion, but he knew what it meant to walk in the love of God. Emotions come to mock the love of God. They come to contradict the love of God. They come to challenge the love of God. And most of the time, the body of Christ gives itself over to emotions because they're dogmatic. They don't seem to go anywhere. But we're going to have emotions to the day we die. But until you conclude what it is to walk in the love of God, you're going to struggle the rest of your life. The thing that you said that came from the flesh that contradicted the love of God, you predicted and you repeated what it said. You repeated the false narrative and you stepped out of love. It did. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. But if you can grasp that sometimes saying nothing is love, when you can grasp that sometimes saying something is love, when you can grasp that sometimes doing nothing is love, and when you can grasp that not doing something is love, you will walk in the love of God. Homer doesn't always have to be right. Homer doesn't always have to voice his opinion. Homer is here to finish a work, and that work is to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means shutting my mouth sometimes. Is it hard? Yes. But that is the love of God. But I say to you, was here, love ye your enemies and do good. Hear and do good. Hear and do good. Hear, pray, fast, and then do good. No. That's false doctrine. The rebirth, spiritual DNA qualifies me and you to do good because the good that I'm asked to do is the good that is in me. Now, Satan can take this and you can run another way with it. Homer's being passive. Oh, God, no, I'm not. I got to this understanding through the Holy Ghost. Through fasting, through praying. But my freedom came in a minute second. 25 years ago, my freedom came. I didn't fast to receive that freedom. I didn't pray in tongues to receive that freedom. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes with the evidence of praying in tongues. Yes, I believe that too. But Christ didn't receive that till 30 years old. How did he overcome sin for 30 years? Through what? The power of the rebirth. The power of the rebirth. Will you pray in tongues again? Oh, all day tomorrow? That's how I'm taught. We're rude because we want to be rude. What wants us to be rude is a false narrative that comes forth from the body of sin. Don't crucify your husband, man. Don't crucify your wife over beans. Crucify what you're dead to. That's the body of sin. And really and truly, I don't care if you don't agree with me. I really don't. I'm not here to make you happy. And if you're mad, it's because it's true and it's hurting you. I've been mad before when pastors talk about fasting all the time. Ooh. Even walked out once or twice. He talked about fasting. But now it's a vital part of my life. Jesus said this in closing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, as the Father has loved me, how did the Father love Jesus? He loved him unconditionally. The Father put his love in Jesus. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. If the Father loved Jesus unconditionally, how did Jesus love me and you? What? Unconditionally. As the Father has loved me unconditionally, and I have loved you unconditionally, the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. How am I supposed to love the world? The Father loved Jesus unconditionally, and Jesus loved the apostles in the world unconditionally. How are we supposed to love? Unconditionally. Unconditional love means one thing. You keep the word of God. Even when every single emotion is staring you down, Father, I want to say it, Father. I don't want to forgive them, Lord, but I won't say a word, Father, because I know and understand what walking in love means. Walking in love means that I love unconditionally, regardless of what they do to me, Father. I choose to abide in your love. Abiding in your love, Father, is that I would love the world unconditionally. There's no excuses. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good. There was not a clause between the word hear and the word good. No clause. It's about the power of the rebirth, by the nature of my Father. You love. He didn't say it'd be easy to love. That love comes with a contradiction from the flesh. But you got to know that that contradiction, that false narrative, is what's coming. The challenge, the love that the Father wants me and you to walk in. Now, do fasting and praying and all that, do they make things a lot easier? Yes. But the day I got born again with you, when I received that spiritual DNA, that was my qualification to do good unto you, because I had the capacity to do good to you, because the good that I would do to you, that good lives in me, which is the righteousness of the law. So walking in love, my friends, it's a choice. And sometimes it's a work. When we get to the next life together, I'm going to ask Abraham, how did you do it? How did you do it in your heart to slay your own son? The day that Abraham chose to slay his son from his heart was the day that Abraham said, Father, I am all yours. My life belongs to you. If Abraham was willing to slay his own seed, surely me and you can overcome a false narrative. It's just a matter of understanding God's love and understanding that emotions come at me and you to mock the love of God that He wants us to work, that lives inside of me and you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, if you keep my commandments, if that means I got a choice. The commandment springs forth out of my spirit for me to do it. But unfortunately, I wear a body of sin, and it's going to come instantaneously to challenge that love through emotions. Will you give yourself over to truth, or will you give yourself over to a lie? I'm sure my beans are going to be laid again in the future. I'm sure. But I'm telling you, I'm starting to understand it. I'm starting to understand it. I'm starting to understand it. Now there's maturity and growth. I hope you grasp what I'm saying. I am by no means disannulling the five limbs. God, by no means. That is what has brought me to this point of understanding the power of the rebirth. Pastor Dave stirred something up in me, but the Holy Ghost showed it to me. He showed it to me. He showed it to me. The Holy Ghost showed it to me. Pastor Dave introduced me to it. but months and years of 6, 7, and 8 months and years of praying in tongues, that image is starting to develop inside of me like never before. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good. No clause, nothing in the world could help me work out that good, but the power of the rebirth and a choice. I choose to love you, Father. They hurt me. They hurt me, Lord. This hurts so much. Nothing in the world hurt more than those 3 treacherous days that our Savior experienced. Nothing in the world can compare to the hell that he went through because of you and because of the person that you hate. The one that you hate is the one that he died for. That's the one that he atoned, or that he set forth the atonement for that person. We disannul the power and the grace of God when we think one has been any lesser because they hurt us. Lord, teach me to comprehend this. And just because I don't comprehend it doesn't mean I have an excuse. It's not his fault that I don't understand his word 100-fold. It's not his fault. And I do not have an excuse because I've been born again. Love comes with a decision. It's a decision. Will I live in the gray, Father? Will I live in the gray? Or will I grit my teeth, Lord? Will I shut my mouth? Because what I want to say, I know it'll feel good if I say it, Lord. It'll feel so good. I'll give them a piece of my mind. Been there, done that. Tuesday. Or will I, as a soldier, will I, as a soldier, choose your love? God and his word are one. Don't keep his word, you don't serve God. I love you so much, and you got a living boyfriend. No, you don't love him so much. You are betrayed so much. God and the Father are one. God and his word are one. You can't serve God without keeping his word. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a message we've heard from the beginning. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The darkness is that you knew what to do, but you disannulled it. That, my friends, is darkness. And then if you think you're okay with that, that's the darkness. You didn't do what was right. You deviated from love. Then you lift your hands and you're okay in church. I'd repent. I would repent. If you're okay with hating and lifting up your hands real high in church, you might want to repent. Because the one that you hate is the very one that he died for. It's the very one that he died for. And we are his voice. We are his eyes. We are his examples here on this earth. He needs me and you to walk in this love, to do good, because we're sons of the kingdom. You've got to understand that tomorrow you might experience what you're experiencing today, but you've been served on what is the love of God. Doing what's right when you don't feel like it. Doing what's right when you don't feel like it. Doing what's right when you don't feel like it. Doing what's right when you don't feel like it. Doing what's right in Christ when you don't feel like it. Doing what's right in Christ when you don't feel like it. Doing what's right in Christ when you don't feel like it. That is love. Because that persuasive speech that tried to talk you into darkness, he told it to shut up. And you remained in the love of God because you love Him. That is the love of God. What gives us the capacity to walk in this love is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Therein lies your victory. Christ in us. Christ in us. When you're going to start arguing with somebody, remember, there should be instant conviction in your life when you first address them because you have not looked into the law of love. When you deal with somebody, talk yourself into this. Talk to yourself, Father, there might be some friction here, but I look into that law of love in my heart, Father. I don't want to see them. I want to see you face to face by heeding your word, Lord. If you change your perspective on how you deal with people, knowing that you deal with God and His word, you'll walk right through that. But you got to comprehend what it is to walk in the love of God. It's not easy, but it's a commandment. Let's choose love. Let's choose to abide in the Lamb of God. Let's press into those hours of tongues. Let's read 1 John. Let's fast. Let's strive to do the five limbs. But even without doing them, you got the power in you to walk in the love of God. Christ did it for 30 years without one tongue uttered. By the power of God. In humanity, He did it. My friend Christina Harding Cruz says, love is not an option, but we have made it an option. It is a way of life. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. But Jesus, there's emotions. They hurt me. If you keep, Homer. But Lord, I don't like. But if you keep, with feeling or no feeling, but if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. But if you keep, regardless of the situation, you will abide in my love, and your joy will be made full. If you keep what qualifies me to keep is the nature of God inside of me. We are going to have resistance. We are going to go through emotional days. Plow through that day. Plow through it, man. Plow through it. The joy of our life is when we stand firm in persecution and we soldier and walk in the love of God. That's what He's looking for. You that are here tonight, you're not the norm. You're not the dime a dozen Christian. If you were, you wouldn't be here tonight. You know what's taught here. But you're here because you want more. If you keep my commandments, if He didn't say the commandment was going to work out itself, we had to work it out. We got to put it on and put on that new man. I pray to God that I relay to you the mind of Christ and to teaching you what it is to walk in the love of God and what opposes the love of God that me and you are to walk in. An emotion. An emotion comes to contradict and mock the love of God that lives inside of us. Pray in tongues, amen, amen, and amen. But stuff isn't just going to fall off. You can't show me that in Scripture. You got to put on the new man. Now the understanding of God's word will come to you like never before through the praying in tongues process, but you still got to work that out. You still got to work it out. Some of you are having a little problem with that, but that's okay. That's okay. Because you know what? We ain't raising the dead yet. That's okay. All that is icing on the cake. But what gives us dominion over darkness is the power of the rebirth. Amen. Either this was extremely boring or it hit the spot. Pray in the Spirit like never before. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Read your word fast. Pray in the Spirit. Read your word and fast. Don't you ever stop that. It rids us of unbelief. Don't you ever stop that. But what qualifies us and gives us the power to overcome sin is the rebirth. If you understood what I've said tonight, don't go out of here thinking Homer come against tongues. You know, that's not what he's going to try to whisper that to you. But the whole message is we overcome sin through the rebirth. We overcome sin through the rebirth. We overcome sin through the rebirth. Had I not incorporated what Pastor Dave taught me, I would not have made it. Had I not incorporated a lifestyle of praying in the Spirit, I would have never understood the power of the rebirth. Praying in tongues brought me to the place to comprehend the power of the rebirth. It has been the catalyst to my life, but it was not the catalyst for me to overcome sin. The Spirit of God in me was the catalyst that gave me the power to say no to sin. Are you with me on that? You see the dividing line there? Satan will come immediately and accuse me to you, saying that I'm coming against tongues. If you believe that, you're crazy. You didn't listen. You shut up your ears and your eyes and you didn't listen. We've been born again. We've been born again. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good. He didn't say hear, pray, fast, worship, and do good. He said, no, when your candle's lit, you hear and you do good. No strings attached, no claws. Do it. You're born again. My nature lives inside of you. Amen. Glory. Were you edified? Blessed be the Lamb of God. Father, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Father. We know of a sure that we are a people without excuse, Lord. And if I've offered up an excuse, Father, wash me with the blood of Jesus. Forgive me of my ignorance, Father. The moment that I confessed Jesus as the Christ, that was enough for me to overcome darkness, Lord. I thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, the teacher of all teachers. I thank you for your word. It's holy and undefiled, Father. Take us to places that our soul does not want to go, Father. Take us to those places that our soul does not want to go to. I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for healing, my friend, Lord. I thank you so much for life in Christ Jesus. Your life abides in us, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you Sunday.